guys. I'm Dr. Beal.
And I'm Dr. Chip.
And we are veterinarians. Start over.
And we are father and son.
I'm the older, wiser one.
Oh, and I'm the younger, hipper one.
Right. I'm certainly the better looking one.
All right, all right. Well, we are running a veterinary hospital together.
And we love hanging out as family together.
And we are best friends. Usually.
Yeah, right, usually. But mostly we have lots of fun together caring for animals.
Well, most of the time it's fun working with you, Dad.
We really do a lot of things together.
That is true. I have pets at home.
And I have pets at home, too. Pets that can be a challenge, both behaviorally and medically. That is why we decided to do a podcast together about the realities of pet care.
Called Vets Talk Pets.
It's a place where we will share tips, tricks, and cutting-edge science about pet care.
And maybe a little family stuff, too.
So if you want help with all things pet care,
join us as Vets Talk Pets.
Here we go.
Hello, and welcome back to Vets Talk Pets. We are in the heart of summertime right now, and we're going over topics that we see a lot of questions we get for summertime. And a big one is dogs that have noise aversion, meaning dogs that get really, really scared when there's fireworks, thunderstorms, gunshots. So we're going to hopefully try to address some of those issues today. And it's on a daily basis we're getting these questions.
Yeah, hi guys, how you doing? Good to be back. Yeah, it's daily right now in the summertime. And so we can definitely give some good advice on that topic today.
Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we're going to talk about our cool pet discovery. And then at the end, we're going to do a case of the week.
Helping you enjoy your pet more. Here is Julie Beal with this week's Cool Pet Stuff Discovery.
You're in a good mood today. Look at you smiling.
I'm laughing at you because you're getting tongue-tied.
You know, I'm not tongue-tied. I'm in love with you.
Oh, well, thanks. So,
You know why? Because we just had our 40th wedding anniversary.
We did.
And we had a nice weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here we are doing a podcast together. It seems like we do everything together. You ever noticed that?
Yep.
I'm looking at you across the table here with microphones and headphones, and you're beautiful.
Okay.
So that's what I'm smiling about.
Okay. I'm sure people don't want to hear about that, but I was laughing because what people can't see is when we are doing whatever topic and no one knows who's going next, we all kind of pause and like stare at each other and open our eyes like, who's talking next? And you were getting ready to be tongue-tied.
I'm trying to determine whether I'm pausing on purpose because you tell us for the editing that you have to have pauses between sections. And pausing because I don't know what to say next.
Well, the pause is because you guys need a lot of editing because I don't know what you're going to say next. But back to the pet discovery of the week. So this one is an app, of course. I like the apps. This is one of the 2019 best pet apps of the year, one of the top 10. And it caught my interest, and it's called Scritch S. Scritch.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange name. And matter of fact, I played around with it a long time yesterday, and actually I was up to like midnight playing with it. So that's a good sign. If it keeps me interested, I like
midnight,
it.
Midnight, you went to bed early. Yeah.
So anyway, but I was thinking, like, who would name their app Scritch? So I was looking this morning, what does Scritch mean? And they kind of must think people are going to ask that. It means, what is Scritch? This is what they say in their app description. A Scritch is a deep, soothing scratch and a way of showing love and affection to your pet. And it says, have you ever been scratching a dog and his legs started thumping like crazy? That's his Scritch spot.
Is that a Webster definition or their definition?
That's their definition.
Yeah, I've never heard of the word
anyway,
before.
So I thought that was kind of funny. So Scritch is an app, and it really does a ton of stuff. And I would have to say it's definitely educational, but it has a pet map on it. I think, remember we had the app Bring Fido, and mm-hmm. you could find out where hotels were and mm-hmm. things like that. Well, this has a map on it also where you can find where the hotels are, the veterinary hospitals are, grooming, boarding, that type of thing. It has a map, and it knows your location if you put your location settings on. I think one of the big things is you can take your pet's picture, and you can add your filters, and you can add your emojis, but they do a contest every day. And yesterday, they did a contest on noses, and you took a picture of your dog's nose, and you posted it, and then you vote on it. And I found myself strolling through these pictures, like laughing and thinking, this is really cute. So that's kind of fun. It's a social network too, where you can talk about your pets. There's a place for what's the local events for pets. So you could go and take your pet to that. Like, I remember when our daughter was moving around the country and she moved to a new city, the first thing she would look for is a place to take her dog.
Dog park.
Yeah. And that's where she met a lot of great friends. So it also does reviews on products, which is nice. It can be a dog food. It can be, there's a whole set of information on pet insurance. Like, they've reviewed the top 10 and they change them around for what's the best there. It just does all kinds of things. It has tons of blogs and great questions. Like, I don't know if I should say this, but the one last night, why does my dog hump my cat? Well, you guys might have to answer that one. So, but it has tons of articles, has some dog behavior and training articles, dog care articles, pet guides. And it also has one thing that I don't think it's that great. You can put your dog's records in here. I probably don't recommend that. I think that everybody should use their own veterinarian's app. Most veterinarians have an app that you can use, and it will have your dog's records up to date in case of an emergency in there. So it goes on, does tons and tons of stuff, and it's free. Most of these apps are like $2.99, but this one is free, and so I think it's going to stick around for a while. So again, it's Scritch, S-C-R-I-T-C-H. The little icon is looks like a little girl hugging a dog. But I think it's pretty cool. I think it's definitely worth it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting. But I want to agree with you on the medical records part. I don't know if I would do that on an unproven app that's just out there. At least at Springboro Veterinary Hospital, we have our own app that you can have on your phone. It's tied directly to Springboro Veterinary Hospital, and I'd trust that more.
I totally agree. So anyway, I think this is one that you might want to take a look at. I'm enjoying it. So that is the Cool Pet Discovery app of the week.
Thank you, my lovely wife, and happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you too.
All right. Well, that was really cool. I'm going to have to download that today. All right, so noise aversion is a fancy way to say my dog gets freaked out during a thunderstorm or firework or gunshot. And you and I both have had animals that are like this, so.
Yeah.
A lot of personal experience. So.
I think your current dog, Dusty, has some of that.
Kind of. She tears the house apart.
I haven't seen that at your house, but I mean, when she's over here at our house and a gunshot goes, she goes running.
Yeah.
And my new dog, actually, Rosie, my previous dog was scared to death. We can talk about that, but my new dog, she's not yet, and maybe give some tips on how to have your new dog not become noise aversion.
So yeah, I guess to start, I can kind of talk about why dogs are afraid of loud noises, and again, without being too technical, well, first of all, dogs don't know what it is. All they know is something unexpected happened to them. They were living their normal life, and all of a sudden it got completely interrupted by a gunshot or a thunderstorm or fireworks. So when that happens, in a dog's brainstem, they release a chemical called norepinephrine. It's like the fight or flight mechanism. And when it's just a gunshot, the body will release that, but then the body self-regulates. So just one gunshot, your dog will get freaked out, but it recovers okay. But when you have repeated sounds like fireworks and thunderstorms, the dogs release that chemical in their brainstem and they freak out, but then the sound happens again and they freak out more, and it starts a cycle that cannot be stopped. So it's important to know that. It's the repeated noises that scares them. Just the one noise, they can self-regulate themselves. And it's important to know that because some of the new medications for this kind of target that process.
Yeah, that's interesting. There is physiology behind this.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's important to know, like, one sound, they'll be okay, they'll get over it.
Don't worry about it.
It's the repeated noises that freak them out. And that's the ones we encounter the most, is the unexpected fireworks on your Monday night when you're trying to have a normal.
Yeah, and people don't just let off one firework.
No.
They're usually a show.
And it's not just 4th of July, it's all summer
all
long.
It started already, and we're in June now, and it's already going on, fireworks. And
it's been a wet summer.
You know, around here, too, we live out in the country, and gunshots, I think people around here target practice a lot because you'll hear a gunshot, but then you'll hear multiple gunshots just going on for half an hour. And I think they're target shooting. So that reoccurrence is pretty common. Thunderstorms, obviously.
Yeah. So there is like all kinds of stuff out there that you can do to try to help comfort your dog that's not drug related. Thunder jackets were a big thing years ago. And I think Carly, your old dog, did respond to that a little bit.
Chip, when they first came out, I like to try new things. That's why Julie does the tip of the week. So when Thunder shirts came out, I was all about it. And I thought, okay, we'll see. Carly, who's passed now, she
helped her
a lot. And we kept that Thunder shirt in a drawer that was down low, kind of over by her food bowl. And she got to the point where Thunderstorm, she would go over to the over to the drawer and kind of nose at it, like, get my Thunder shirt on.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know what a Thunder shirt is, it's like this vest that you wrap around your dog that kind of squeezes them and makes them feel comfort just by the pressure around their chest and their heart. And by now, most people know what they are. They've been around, had some success. They make them for cats, too.
Yeah, I don't know. My testimony on that for Carly, at least, was it was positive. It helped her.
Yeah.
No question.
So that's the main one that's non-drug related that you can try to use. But the important thing is, and this goes more so for the drugs, you have to get ahead of the sound, which is hard. Once that cycle starts that I described, there's no stopping it. There's no drug that can overcome it or anything. So if you know it's going to be a thunderstorm night, put the thunder jacket on, use some of the medications we're going to talk about. 4th of July, pretty much Memorial Day and Labor Day, people are lighting off fireworks too. Go ahead and proactively, you have to get ahead of this to make it work.
You know, one more non-drug thing, because we are going to talk about the drugs and the medications. That seems to be the mainstay of what people want. But another thing that you can try, non-drug or medicine related, is it's almost kind of like a tornado drill. If you can find a room in your house, like in the center of the house that has no windows, maybe a closet. We always used a walk-in closet in our bedroom. You could put the dog in there, even when it's just starting to thunderstorm, and turn the lights out or on, whatever the dog's more comfortable with, and turn some music on in there that will kind of dull some of the outside noise. And that always helped Carly too, is, oh, there's a thunderstorm, we must put her in the closet. It's a big closet. It was a room, really.
Yeah.
If you can find a place like that, or maybe even a bathroom or something in the middle of your house, and if there's a window, put something over the window.
The music thing is important to talk about. Classical music, there's been research that shows that playing classical music promotes calming and laying down in dogs. You're right about that. That might just be a good thing if you have a dog that's anxious in general.
Have we talked about this before? This is like podcast number 10, 11,
yeah,
or 12.
Yeah, we did. I think we did a
wasn't
a
there
cool
a CD
discovery on it or something.
Called Through a Dog's Ears and Through a Cat's Ears that was all classical music, but specifically tested that dogs liked.
Yep.
So we've got that CD around here for our dogs. So maybe it's something people can get.
At the end, we'll talk about how to maybe make your dog not afraid of thunderstorms from the beginning.
Yeah.
Medication-wise, there's only one medication out there that is FDA approved for noise aversion. It's come out in the past couple of years. It's called Sileo, S-I-L-E-O. And what it is, it's a medication that we use to tranquilize or sedate dogs for x-rays and stuff, but it's formulated in a paste and it's absorbed through the gums. So it doesn't have quite as strong of effect as if we were to give a shot of this medication. But what it does is, so that mechanism that I talked about, where you release that chemical in the brainstem that sends them into that fight or flight motion. So this drug blocks that chemical from being absorbed into the brainstem.
Yeah, that is a breakthrough medication. Mm-hmm. And I keep using my dog Carly's example, but we use that on Carly too, and it really worked. She had that for the last couple of years of her life, and it was awesome how much it helped her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, we did have to get ahead of it a little bit.
But again, if the cycle started, this medication is not going to work.
Right.
It overrides it.
You have to kind of get ahead of it. Like, you can definitely plan on a 4th of July fireworks program starting at 10 o'clock. We'll give you Celio at 8 and you're good to go.
I would say before the sun goes down.
Right. But thunderstorms, you know, I've kind of noticed with weather predicting nowadays, I mean, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't hurt to give it. And if the thunderstorm didn't happen, well, nothing lost.
A very sleepy dog.
Very sleepy dog. And other than a dose of Celio. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we can't hardly keep it in stock this time of year.
Yeah.
We use a lot of it. And it's pretty easy for people to use and to squirt it in the mouth. And
yep, that's the best one, I think, to try.
Yeah, well, because it's new and it's specific for that. We've used other medications over my career, almost 40 years now. In the beginning years, it was acepromazine was a tranquilizer that we used a lot. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that term. That's not so much anymore. Well, it is still, some people still want it. Trazodone works. A gabapentin works, but this Celio seems to be my go-to nowadays.
Yeah. And trazodone works too. It's, you can use that medication a lot for dogs with such different, like car anxiety, things like that. It's called a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, meaning serotonin.
Wow, say that again real fast.
It's an SSRI. Serotonin is something that makes you feel calm.
Yeah.
I think that's what Prozac is in humans too. So what it does is it blocks the serotonin in your body from being absorbed so it stays around longer.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, your dog is happy. But I do see dogs override that too.
And that seems to be kind of iffy.
Just depends.
It works on some dogs and other dogs. It has no effect at all.
For noise aversion. Other stuff it works, but noise aversion is pretty severe for a dog. And it's important to know this. Thunderstorm anxiety, firework anxiety, just noise aversion is very dangerous for your dog. They hear these sounds unexpectedly. They're outside. They'll take off.
Yeah.
And you might never see them again. They get hit by a car. They run away. That's how scared they get.
Yeah.
Or if they're in a cage, they will try to dig their way out. I had a dog last year that during a thunderstorm, the owners were gone. They put in the cage. They got home and there was blood all over the house. The dog got out of the cage somehow. In the meantime, lacerated its leg. And the dog ended up fine. But I mean, these dogs, they are so afraid. I think it's comparable to they think they're going to die.
Yeah,
that's how scary it is.
You know, along that same lines, there's another noise that we haven't talked about that I've seen is hot air balloons.
Oh yeah,
it's not the size of the balloon does scare them, but it's that gas rush that scares dogs. And I've seen dogs do two different things. And it's that running away you're talking about. They will literally run the other direction, scared to death. Maybe they think they're going to die, that scared. But I also had a dog a couple years ago that took off after the balloon. I don't know if he was going to try to attack it or not, but the owner told me that dog followed that balloon for a county.
Wow.
For like miles and miles and miles, she's chasing after that balloon.
Wow.
So my point is, or your point that I agree with is they'll get lost. And so let me just put a plug in there, microchip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. So what if you have a new dog and this is all scaring you really bad and you don't want your dog to be afraid of noises? Well, it might be inevitable. Not all dogs are like this. But there are some things you can do to prevent your dog with the hopes of this not being a problem. It's called counter conditioning. And this goes for, you can do this if you do have a dog that's really scared and you want to try to correct it. You can play thunderstorm noises, you know, go to YouTube and play thunderstorm noises at a very, very, very low level for a little bit while you're with your dog and comforting your dog and maybe while your dog's eating or while you're giving it treats. And once your dog gets used to that, you elevate the noise just a little bit more and you know, while you're giving it comfort and giving it treats and things like that. This could take months or a year to counter condition your dog if it is afraid of those sounds. But with ultimately the end goal being a really loud thunderstorm noise while you're with your dog and your dog being completely fine.
That's really important to us. A lot of work, really important to do. And I totally support that 100%. Great way to go. For us with Rosie, our new dog, because Carly, our previous dog, was so afraid, I think you're right, she thought she was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
We were extra cautious to try to not have Rosie, our new dog, be like that. And we haven't had to go to that point yet that you're talking about, but for us, and this was with your suggestion, you helped us through this, was for us not to freak out.
Yeah.
Like get all nervous, like she's going to get freaked out. And then we'd get nervous and they pick up on that. Mm-hmm. So whenever there was thunderstorms, we would just go out on the front porch and sit and take the dog out with us, let her walk around. We would never make a big deal about it. There'd be a big thunderstorm. She'd look back and we would just keep talking and not make it any big deal. And last night we were sitting on the front porch and a thunderstorm came. It was a big thunderstorm, lightning, thunder, and she was fine. She's a year old now. Good. And she really was fine. She was just walking around and didn't even come up on the couch with us.
Good.
So, yeah, it's important that they kind of pick up on your nervousness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. I think we covered main stuff for noise aversion.
I think we make a podcast about it like this because I want people to know that we understand that it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand medically, I mean, we studied it and you studied it, but I've had it too with my dog and I don't want her to feel scared to death.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, good topic.
Yeah, and then if you guys have questions about this, email us because, you know, every dog is its own case. So yeah. Let us know what that is.
Speaking of email, can I just spend a minute wrapping up this podcast about an email we got?
Yeah.
Different topic. We're off of thunderstorms, but I got an email from Molly this week. She wanted to know about CBD oil in dogs and cats, if it was safe to use and how much to use. And I'm going to spend just a minute here answering that particular question, but we were kind of talking before the podcast that probably a whole podcast about CBD oil, hemp oil, would be in order. So Molly, the product that you should use is a dog or a dog and cat product that's been studied by the Cornell University Veterinary School, a double-blinded study. Everybody says, you know, these natural products need pharmaceutical testing. Well, this particular one has been done. The name of the product is called Elevet. The company that makes it, and they subjected their product to this double-blind study, and Cornell did the study and said that, yes, it is effective, and they did dosing studies on it and how much to give. And we'll talk more about that study and all about, you know, the interaction, but the answer is yes, it is safe to give to dogs and cats, but it should be done through a veterinarian because we want to check blood levels and things, and the dose is right on the bag. There's an oil and a chew. And for certain size dogs, you give so much and it needs to be specific.
Yeah. I think it's important to say that it was found to work with dogs with mobility issues, with pain, like arthritis, especially older dogs. There are some secondary benefits that are out there, aren't proven yet for seizure activity, stress, anxiety, maybe something under noise aversion, but it is just for pain and mobility issues.
You know, the whole thing started in humans with seizures, epilepsy.
Yep.
And there's proven studies too that it helps with human seizures that are not responsive to some of the other drugs. So,
and it's, and the last thing, it's important that it is a veterinary product because animals require a lot higher concentration than what you get at the store.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get it at the store online, you can do it, but you just really, you almost triple the amount of drops you would need. You just need to make sure.
You know, UL, Underwriters Laboratories, just did a test on CBD oils across the country. They went and picked like 100 of them on the internet at stores and things. They actually found some that were olive oil. And there was no CBD oil in there at all.
Wow.
So you got to buyer beware like always, especially on the internet.
But yeah, even CBD, the animals require a lot higher dose.
Stay tuned. I hope that answers your question, Molly, and stay tuned for possibly an upcoming entire podcast on this.
All right. Case of the week.
Me or you?
Me.
Okay, you got it.
This is a two for one.
Because I've had a few too.
Yeah. So we run a normal small animal practice, but we do urgent care into the evenings till 10 o'clock at night on through the weekdays until 8 on the weekends. And so we get, you know, the abnormal things that come in. So this week I had our receptionist called me and said, you know, I have a dog coming in, ate a bunch of chocolate. I'm like, okay, I got this. I know what to do. I get there. And there's three dogs that the family owns. And two of them ate a bunch of chocolate. They're not sure which one ate more or not. And the third dog was there just for moral support.
No chocolate.
Yeah. But you never know what you're going to walk into on these urgent cares. So the protocol that you do is, you know, you first triage, you make sure they're stable because chocolate toxicity can be very serious in dogs if not addressed early. They told me it was done within the last half hour, which is great. I think you pretty much have like a 2-hour window to get it out of the dog. So I induce vomiting. And when I do this, I have our assistants not clean it up. So this dog started vomiting. And I said, don't clean it up. We got to show the owners. I want to verify if this is that. And we searched through with little popsicle sticks to see what's in there, because sometimes dogs chew medications and need to find it. This dog puked so much chocolate. It smelled like chocolate, the whole room. So then we get the other dog and make that dog puke and chocolate everywhere. I mean, so I didn't have her clean up. I had the whole back room floor was just full of chocolate. And it actually smelled good. Like the only time that vomit can smell good
made
is
you
when,
want some
when your dog eats chocolate. But poor Sherry, she always gives me a hard time on urgent care because I always tend to bring some crazy stuff. But we spent a long time cleaning it. So we made him vomit, and then we made him stop vomiting, and then we gave him some activated charcoal to bind any of the chocolate that wasn't vomited out and already made into the intestines.
There's always some that's going to get in, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to give activated charcoal to bind those toxins so they're not absorbed or decrease the likelihood of it. But yeah, not interesting, kind of a gross case of the week. But you never know. You get called in for one.
Kind of a bittersweet.
Three there, yeah.
So I got to ask the question.
What?
How are the dogs doing?
They're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the really good pet parents. Obviously, they brought a third dog for moral support. Yeah. But they did what they needed to do. And we tracked the liver the next day and everything
That's
was good.
Actually is a good case because there's a moral story there that if your dog eats chocolate, bring it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Chocolate, gum. You know, we had some medications happen a lot. So that was a great, fun podcast. So we will end it with where you can find us. And if you want to give us a review, we're available on iTunes Podcast, which is new. I think iTunes is kind of phasing out. So it's under iTunes Podcast right now. Google Play, Stitcher, SpringBrewVet.com, Spotify, VetsTalkPets.com, and TuneIn. All right.
See you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.